Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So remember that prank last month when the Yes Men staged a press conference, the satirical group Yes Men that does hoaxes, posing as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and said the group would no longer oppose any climate change legislation? Remember this?
Clean coal is a technology that has not only not been proven, it basically doesn't exist. And it's just obvious we have to put our money, it's a sane business decision, we have to put our money where the proof is.
Okay, this is, I'm Eric Wolfschlegel, I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. This is not an official U.S. Chamber of Commerce event.
So what we heard there was the real spokesman for the Chamber of Commerce at the end and the Yes Men before that. But we're going to talk about the business group's real position now and what it's costing them among members, because it turns out that the Yes Men's satirical hoax may have actually been based on some actual tension within the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the big lobbying group for big business in America. So with me to do just that is David Farenthold, staff writer for The Washington Post. He covers climate change for the paper. David, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me on.
So what is the actual position of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce on the cap-and-trade climate legislation?
Well, I can tell you this. The bill that was passed by the House this summer, the Waxman-Markey bill, one thing we know definitively is the chamber is against that. That's a cap-and-trade bill that would, as your listeners probably know, put a limit on U.S. greenhouse gases but allow polluters to sort of trade credits to pollute. The chamber's against that. What they're for is a little murkier. They've said in the last few weeks that they want some kind of climate legislation, but they want it to have, you know, protection for industry. They want it to have protection for consumers, but they don't want it to have bad. They want it to have good things, but they don't want it to have bad things. And they haven't really come out in support of a lot of specific mechanisms for making those good things happen and those bad things not happen, which of course is the whole meat of this debate. So they've been able to say they support generally taking action without really supporting anything specific that's been proposed so far.
So with respect to climate change legislation, they are still the no men.
Well, they're in an interesting place because I think they don't want to be seen as standing in the way of any legislation. But I think at this point they haven't seen anything they want to support. Even on the issue of the science of climate change, they've been sort of in a strange position. That, as you probably know, earlier this year, one of their sort of senior staff came out and said that he wanted a Scopes monkey trial for climate change. Basically, he wanted the EPA to sort of reprove the science of climate change and prove that it was a danger to all of us. And then they said, well, no, that's wrong. We don't really believe that. But then in a subsequent interview with Politico, the head of the chamber said, is the science right? Is the science wrong? I don't know. So they've been sort of on both sides of that issue as well.
This has caused, Yes Men aside, some headaches and some dissension within the ranks of the members of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as you've reported. Who's saying what? And I gather some companies have even pulled out of the chamber's coalition. Is that correct?
That's right. A few companies have left. Apple has left, and a few energy-related companies, Exelon, PNM, these are utilities in different parts of the country, have left. Other companies have sort of signaled their displeasure. Nike resigned from the board of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Those are big companies, but in the grand world of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that level of defection is not going to cause the Chamber of Commerce to collapse anytime soon. And those defections, so far, I don't think have changed their policy. And it certainly haven't made them friendly toward climate change legislation as it's been written so far.
You know, coincidentally, our next segment is going to be an iPhone versus Droid smackdown. So now that Apple left the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, maybe Verizon is going to have to leave the U.S. Chamber of Commerce if they're in it. I don't know. But is it just business when you come right down to it? Because the companies that you mentioned that are pulling out, like Apple and Nike, try to maintain a somewhat hip image as part of their business strategy. So if you get them on the one side and, you know, Chevron on the other, staying in and fighting as hard as they can against the science of global warming and everything else, does it just come down to one company's business interests versus another's?
I think the chamber's response to all of this has been, you know, Apple aside, because that, as you pointed out, is probably an issue of sort of corporate image. A lot of the utilities that have left are utilities that would actually benefit from greater investment in renewable energy, or if renewable energy was sort of price competitive with dirty energy, those utilities would benefit. So it is in their pocketbook interest to support a climate change bill. I think that's at the root of a lot of this. The problem is the issue of what climate legislation is going to mean for business. The two sides say such wildly different things. You have supporters of the climate change bill who say, well, this is going to be a wonderful thing for business. It's going to create all these jobs. It's going to invest in all these in green jobs and provide everybody with a lot more employment. On the other side, the people who are opposed to climate change legislation say it's going to make oil and coal cost a lot more. It's going to make all of our electricity cost a lot more. It's going to be hugely destructive to jobs. And it's hard to answer the question of who's right, because it requires, you know, computer models about what the economy is going to do, what the price of carbon is going to do over 20 years. So at this point, it's not like there's a clear-cut set of these are the winners, these are the losers, because, you know, one side is saying we all win, the other side is saying most of us lose.
Where does the cap-and-trade legislation stand? Because since, as you said, the prospect for creating or saving jobs is so bound up in this debate, that's going to be the big focus of the Obama administration. We are told for all of 2010,
right,
supposedly after he gets health reform legislation out of the way and this cap and trade climate change legislation out of the way, then he's going to focus on jobs. But is he going to be able to clear cap and trade before focusing on jobs in other ways, or are these going to get in each other's way?
Well, I think that the official line from the White House is probably going to be that they're both the same thing, that this is a jobs bill. All the Democrats have talked about the climate change bill so far, the first thing they say is this is a jobs bill. They say this is a national security bill because it reduces our imports of foreign oil. And then they say, well, it helps the environment. So I think they'll say it's the same thing. In reality, you asked where the Senate climate change bill is.
Correct.
It's passed a committee. We thought we had a couple of steps forward. We covering it, we're sort of trying to figure out what was going to happen next. We thought there had been a couple of steps toward passage because a Senate committee passed the bill. But almost immediately afterward, John Kerry, who actually had co-written the bill that had just been passed, came out and said effectively, this bill doesn't mean much anymore. He said Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, Joe Lieberman, the independent from Connecticut, they were going to get together and sort of work out their own climate change bill, and it was going to have some pieces of things that had been proposed before, but basically the doors were open again, and we were going to start almost from scratch. Even the idea of basing it on cap and trade, Lieberman said, well, I haven't seen anything better, but they didn't come out and say cap and trade is at the bedrock of this bill. So we're not right back at a clean slate, but we're close to a clean slate, and that the details of that may be filled in next month, or they may not be filled in until January or February.
So that's possibly after health care or around the same time as health care, and,
right,
and we will see, because some people are predicting if that gets passed, it will take until February or so and not get done by the end of the year, though it remains to be seen. David Fahrenthold, my guest on WNYC for just another few minutes, staff writer for The Washington Post, as we talk about the cap-and-trade climate legislation in the Senate and also the dissension in the big business lobby group, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Funny enough, just recently there was an article in Brand X, the New York Times, which, you know, the headline was something to the effect of chamber a lot bigger and more powerful than it used to be. And it's about Donahue, the head of the Chamber of Commerce these days, who has hired an army of lobbyists and spent hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising, advocacy, and political campaigns to make sure its voice is heard. He's added more than 100,000 members and quadrupled the group's annual budget to $200 million, it's been reported. So are they actually strengthening their position with things like, you know, energy legislation and massive health care legislation on the table in Washington? Or are they being weakened by these defections by some of the companies you were mentioning?
Well, I didn't write that story, so I have no reason to dispute that they're spending a lot more money. They've also been involved in what, for them, I think will be costly, sort of a war with the Obama administration. They and the Obama administration have both sort of, for a while, a few weeks ago, were sort of taking direct shots at one another. The Obama administration more vocal about it than the chamber was. And I think the chamber does not want to be seen as a purely partisan group. I think they don't want to give up their identity as sort of just a voice of common sense business and become sort of seen as a proxy for the Republican Party. So they're in an interesting position on climate change, which is the subject that I know best. I think they're trying to become an independent voice and not be seen just as a voice of, you know, no, as you said earlier. They don't want to be seen as the people who just say, let's not do anything. So they're definitely spending a lot more money, but at this point, at least on climate, the particular viewpoint that they're representing is not that clear, at least to me. And maybe that will sharpen in the next few weeks. But with climate legislation sort of still fuzzy in terms of what the Senate's going to look at, the chamber's position on it, it seems also like it's not quite clear what specific things they want.
Right. And, of course, there is the local chamber of commerce in everybody's neighborhood downtown. We've been talking about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is this big K Street lobby group in Washington, D.C., and we hear how they have their own tensions simmering over some of this legislation coming up in Congress right now. David Fahrenthold covers climate change and other things for The Washington Post. David, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, as promised, in this corner, the iPhone. In that corner, the Droid. Which smartphone will win?